Well, happy post-Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm Alan here with Trent today, and we're so glad to be back with you on the Enduring Churches podcast. Trent, have you recovered from all your turkey yet?
Well, as we're recording this, I'm expecting to be laid out on a couch somewhere in a coma from turkey tryptophan. So yeah, it's all good. And I love the holidays. It's a good time.
Well, great. Well, no, we kind of thought we might talk a little hope for the holidays. How does that sound today?
Sounds good, man. I think there is a lot of hope. And I know that some people, as we come into the holiday season, you get into Thanksgiving, especially Christmas, there's a lot of people that don't feel like there is hope, but we want you to know that there is today.
Well, and you know, when we think about the holidays, I think about it's a busy time in ministry, and it's awful easy to kind of get absorbed in a lot of things that are very trying and maybe take some of the enjoyment of the holidays away from you. How about you?
Yeah, that's true. You know, you're trying to get everything in, and you've got Sunday school, Christmas parties and things to go to. And it can be a stressful time, but this is a time when you need to be able to look back at those boundaries. And hopefully you've got those set to where you can be able to graciously say, I'm sorry, I can't, or, you know, but you need to protect some time. And so that we want to talk about that today. You know, what are the things that you do in order to keep the holidays fun and not suck your life away. So, and actually we're just going to fess up and let you know that we are recording this the week right before Thanksgiving, because I know Alan and myself, we're going to be watching football and eating on a turkey leg and not wanting to talk to anybody. So we wanted to get this ahead of time. And I hope that we are praying that you have an amazing Thanksgiving day.
We certainly do. And, you know, I think, you know, you have a question in here. What are some of your favorite holiday traditions? And, you know, so much of ours actually revolve around football on Thanksgiving, the professional football. You know, grew up Dallas Cowboy fans. And so that was always a big part of my Thanksgiving. And then I've really come to love college football the most. And, you know, here I am in Colorado, but I'm a big Sooner fan and, you know, questioning why they didn't rise more in the rankings after last week, all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of ours float around football. How about you?
That's for sure. We are big college football fans. I honestly, and I hate to say this, but I've kind of given up on the whole NFL thing. I'm not into that anymore, but yeah, the college football stuff and man, looking at the rankings, these are the rankings that come out right before Thanksgiving with LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4, Alabama, Allen. I'm surprised they moved Alabama out of the top four. I know it has a lot to do with the loss of Tua. So what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'm just mad that the Sooners didn't jump back over them. So I think it's hard, you know. You know, it reminds us, you know, there really is no such thing as an indispensable person, but there are important people, and he's certainly important to what they're doing. Just as you know, every single person's important. You know, did someone miss a block on that? That block was important. You know, there's a lot of things that I just see when I watch a football game that reminds me of ministry and some of those things. And maybe that's why I'm kind of drawn toward it. But, you know, one of the things I love about college football is just how passionate fans are everywhere. You know, the Alabama fans, you know, we should still be number one, and yeah. You know, LSU fans, hey, we've proven it. And yet their defense has been lit up like a Christmas tree. And, you know, Ohio State walking around, are we really getting the respect we deserve? And, you know, my only thing is, and I wish they had increased the playoff, because I would love to see eight teams in on that. I think that would make for a much more interesting end of the year and a great start to the new year. But I guess there's probably some out there who probably don't like a lot of football talk. But Trent, do you have some other traditions that maybe aren't football related?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, as we get into Thanksgiving, all your traditions kind of circle around the food stuff, and I'm all into that. But yeah, we tried to, because we live a pretty good distance away from either set of our Dana and I's parents, we tried to travel to one set of parents for one holiday and then go to the other for the next holiday. And we try to rotate that, you know, it's hard to do. Boy, I don't know about you, Alan, but it's a struggle to go to everyone's family and keep everyone happy at the holidays. Is that your experience too?
Yes. And we've been like kind of the huge disappointment for a lot of parents too, because especially as our kids got older and over the last 4 years with one daughter out on the East Coast in college, most of that has been around trying to get her here to see us. And so we've not really done any travel down much to visit family. And when we get down there, it's not for a long period of time and everything. But I've noticed that the being an empty nester now has really kind of changed up how everything works. And I find that Rochelle and I are trying to build maybe new traditions that are maybe a little bit more focused on us, recognizing that with two married kids, they're going to alternate Christmases, or, you know, they've got to figure out how they want to do all of that. And when they have kids, they're going to want to have Christmas morning with maybe even just them. And that's okay. Sometimes things change, and you know, there's some nice things of that. I get to sleep in a lot longer on Christmas morning now.
And that's
actually kind of nice. I like that, but you know, it does keep you thinking, and it does keep you mindful of all the different seasons of life. And you really have to find a way to enjoy each and every part of it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alan. And we're in that same boat too. You know, our kids are grown up and they're looking to start new traditions, and we've got a new grandbaby on the way this next year. And so that's going to change everything, the way that we do holidays. But, you know, and we told our son, Zach, and his wife that, you know, we understand that you're going to want to spend time with her family too. And the last thing we want to do is put pressure on them to say, if you don't come to our house, we don't like you anymore. And that's a horrible thing to do. And so we try to say, hey, you guys make your decisions, and we're just going to enjoy when we get the chance to spend time with you.
Next year at this time, you're going to be buying all the loudest toys you can to get back for all the experiences you had. And so you're going to buy all these little loud toys. And so that's going to be a fun Christmas.
Yeah, drum machines. And no, actually, I want to buy the things that I want to play with, right? So I can play with them too. And so, especially as they get older, then yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So the holidays are fun, aren't they, Trent?
Oh, they're a blast. And they, you know, we want to encourage you as ministers or church leaders to make sure that you keep that fun in the holidays. And there's so much work that can be done. But make sure and protect some fun times in there too. So Alan, I want to ask you, let's shift from a personal side to the church side. How does your church typically handle the holidays? Are there things that you do every year or?
Well, I mean, obviously our biggest thing is our Christmas Eve service. I mean, that is a big deal. We have our church come in after Thanksgiving. We'll have a day where I bribe people with pizza to come in and help decorate the church and everything like that. But Christmas Eve is really kind of our focus. And I think that's probably become more of a singular focus of many churches today that, you know, when I was growing up, I don't remember going to church on Christmas Eve a lot, but it has really become something that really every church seems to offer now. And so we've actually added in, last year we went to two Christmas Eve services and we filled them both up.
Really?
I was just amazed at how many people came and, you know, how many people come out to Elizabeth who are from out of town. And we see just an amazing influx of people for that. And, you know, I actually used to, I'll be honest, I used to kind of dread that day in that service. And I've really just come to enjoy it. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that when we talk about some of the ways of keeping hope in Christmas. And I'll explain that a little bit better. But I look forward to our Christmas Eve services now.
Well, that's a good one. I'm glad you said that, Alan, because, yeah, I've been on the other side where I'm like, oh, man, you know, it should be kind of vacation time for you and your family, but it's still a good ministry time. And so I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, what does your church do?
Well, we, you know, of course we have the whole month of December. We do the Advent candles and the whole Advent readings, which you may think is strange for a Baptist church, but we really get into that. And we have families that do the readings and light the candles. And then we have our littlest kids. They do a Christmas program during one of our Sunday morning worship services. They do part of the service, and you know, just trying to make it fun. And we, right now, we're finishing up one of the traditions we do is we do the Samaritan's Purse, the shoe boxes for kids. And so our church family's been getting into that, and they're bringing all their shoe boxes in this week. And so that for us is a good way to keep in mind giving and helping other people.
Well, yeah, we agreed to actually be a distribution point this year. And so we've been collecting all our community boxes, and that's been a blast for our church and a neat way to let people know that we care about the outside world as well as our local community. So Trent, not everyone enjoys the holidays. For some, that can be a real drag. And I know for ministers, and I've been in that boat where I have come through November and December and wanted to take a break because I'm just so worn out. And then you are in a brand new year wanting to cast vision, and that can be really hard. And so we want to help you build some hope for the holidays. And we've got five little statements here that we want to kind of share with you to help you out. And so, Trent, why don't you share what the first one is, and I'll kind of give a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, and the first thing that we have on our list here is not to overthink your preaching. The guests need and want a direct message, and we wonder, you know, we've talked about the Christmas message, Alan and I, for a lot of years, and it's like, okay, we always want to try to put something new to catch the attention. But the story is still important. And so, Alan, how do you do that? Have you struggled with that as well?
You know, I have pulled out the stops. I've done so many different things. And, you know, a few years ago, Luke and I, my associate pastor, we really just tried to make it. We had a really rough year. And it just been a challenging year for all of us. And a pretty heavy year. And so we decided to do something lighthearted at Christmas. And, you know, we had a lot of fun, but we did some really fun things on the front side. But then I just told a real simple Christmas message. And the message is what resonated the most. The fun was there and all that kind of stuff. And then not long after that, I heard some statistics that what most people who went to a Christmas Eve service who were unchurched, they did not want a lot of glitz. They did not want a lot of fancy things or overthinking. They wanted a few familiar songs, and they wanted to hear someone speak sincerely from the heart about what the Christmas story means. And, you know, that was a refresher for me. I needed to hear that because to me, my problem is it's not that the Christmas story's never gotten old. Maybe my experience with the Christmas story's gotten old. And I need to change the way that I think about that. And so, you know, I think that's important to not over think what we preach. And we don't, it really probably isn't the time where we need to pull out our biggest creativity. It's probably the time when we need to be the most simple and straightforward.
Yeah, Alan, I agree. You're going to have those, some people call the CEO Christians, right? The Christmas and Easter only ones. You know, it's tempting to try to put on a big show, but I think that turns people off. And it's not our people that are there with us at church. They recognize, hey, this is not who we are on a week-to-week basis. So we don't want to come across as fake. We want to be real in that. And, you know, honestly, I'd put more of your effort toward Mother's Day. That's a much bigger opportunity. Even than Christmas. But and another thing I was thinking too, Alan, as you're talking about that, is don't try to make your Christmas or your Christmas Eve service very long. I mean, 30, 45 minutes, honestly, is a good thing. for people because they've got stuff that they want to get home to their Christmas. And so keep that in mind too.
That is a huge important point. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, doing two of them forced us to really contemplate keeping them smaller or shorter. And one of the things we were thinking about is too, the parking lot and the parking situation as people were coming in and out. So we want to make sure that one group can get out so the other one can come in. And that's just a really important element. And so I'm glad you said that. So the second thing is this, Trent, don't overcommit to external celebrations. It's okay to say no. So do you get invited to every single Christmas party that goes on in your church?
Yeah. I mean, our folks are gracious and they try to invite us to their gatherings and different things. And they when they invite us, they understand that we're got a lot going on. And so they're always very gracious. And it's like, hey, if you have time, stop by and you don't, you know, just come as you need to. And so I appreciate that. I know that sometimes pastors, church leaders can have an expectation that, hey, you're going to be there and you're going to be there from the beginning to the end. Dana and I, sometimes we talk to each other ahead of time and say, hey, you know, we're going to go make an appearance. And I think that's okay. People understand. They're just glad you stopped in and said hi, give it a lot of hugs, and then go on to the next thing.
Yes, and sometimes it's just okay to say no. I mean, there are just times and in certain situations you just can't be in multiple places at multiple times, and you have to say no. And it's not that any of them are bad. It's just there's only so much of you to go around. And that's something that you'll hear us reference oftentimes as pastors and leaders in churches. You know, we teeter oftentimes on the verge of just burning out and burning up. And there are times where you just have to be able to say, I just can't make this one.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And that kind of leads you to the next thing that we wanted to mention is about keeping close to your family at the holidays, because this is a family time. Thanksgiving, Christmas is very much centered around family. And don't sacrifice. Alan and I mentioned a while ago, right? We're empty nesters. We're old farts. And so we've got no kids at home, right? But maybe you're a pastor that has little kids right now. And it's really important for you to have that time. And so protect it, you know, set some boundaries and say, hey, that's when your voicemail is a great tool. You don't have to answer every call. Let things go to voicemail. Just spend time and protect time with your family.
And it's okay to extend your family a little bit too. A few years ago, we had a dear man in our church, and we loved him so much. And his wife had died in the course of the year before, and he was going to be alone for Christmas. And so we had him over for Christmas Eve after our services, and we brought him in, and we actually had a family that we loved, and we invited them over for Christmas Eve after our services. And we had a huge table that day. But I think our kids saw us willing to expand our family table as well. And so instead of trying to go somewhere, we just made our family a little bit bigger that year. And that was kind of a special day for us. And we had a lot of fun doing that. Well, In mentioning family, Trent, you're going to be doing some traveling.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to be traveling to the other end of Oklahoma and then to Texas. And, you know, as you do that, that can wear you out, right? Alan, I mean, you've just gotten to go to the East Coast and see your daughter. And I know that's even flying, it still takes it out of you, right? And you need to protect some time to rest in the middle of that.
Yeah. So one of the things I like to do is if I can, when I come back from visiting family, I actually like to take an extra day when I come back as the recovery day. So I may not go into the office that day or whatever, just to remember that sometimes visiting family can be stressful, and you want to be able to give yourself a chance to kind of process what you've done. But make sure that you find time to relax if if visiting family is something that can be stressful, and a lot of people have stressful family situations, and when you go through that, make sure that you remember what it's like when you get back and prepare for that.
Yeah. And I would say too, as you're traveling, Dana and I kind of have an agreement that there are times when we just need to disappear and go to the bedroom we're staying at whoever's house and take a nap. And, you know, if you stay up, especially you get there and then you stay up late, you know, visiting and just having fun, and then you're eating a whole lot, and it's good to just sneak away and take a nap for 30 minutes, and it makes your outlook on life way better. And Alan, you're going to have to pray for me, man, because this Thanksgiving holiday, we're going to be traveling a lot, come back and go to a wedding and then church the next day. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to make it through. Right. So
it sounds like you need some hope for the holidays.
Yes, I do. So. Yes, I do.
You know, but there really is the most important thing. And when everything else fails, we need to remember this, because this is really what Christmas is all about, that God intervened in our lives and he continues to do so. And one of the things that I've not always been good about is remembering that Christmas was about God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And I need to allow him some time to intervene in my life and to work in my life and to make the Christmas story fresh and new all over again. And we are lesser people when we get so caught up in the busyness of the season that we forget the person of the season. And I know that sounds simplistic and or maybe even preachy, but it's just really true.
Yes, Alan. And we as ministers need to be reminded of that just as much, if not more, than anyone else. We need to be reminded who is the point of Christmas. It's Christ Mass, worship Christ. And so take time. I know we're trying to help other people worship, but make sure and take time for yourself to be able to worship. Maybe it's time just sitting in your sanctuary before everybody gets there, just to be by yourself, to be quiet, or listen to some worship music. Take time to pray at the altar without people around, or gather your family together at the church and just say, hey, we want to just worship together and pray together. We need to be reminded, and for sure, tell the Christmas story with your kids, with your family. It doesn't matter if they're old, they still need to hear the story too.
That is so true. And you know, Trent, I had a great Christmas moment this week. This past Sunday, I agreed voluntarily to go ahead and help my wife decorate the Christmas trees and put all those things out. And we were getting ready to head back up to our church for our kids program. And I unplugged the Christmas tree lights and closed the shades. And my wife comes in and she just starts laughing at me. She goes, "You're ashamed, aren't you? You're ashamed that it's not Thanksgiving yet and our Christmas tree's up." And so I was caught once again, but we have a lot of fun. My favorite tradition is to seeing how long I can stall Rochelle on putting up all the Christmas stuff. And I know you and Dana have a lot going on, and you have something special going on. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, one of the things that Dana and I are working together, we've been doing this for a long time. We just haven't really publicized it a whole lot. We call it Tie-Dyed Talent, and it's Trent Young, Dana Young, D Talent. And our goal is to have an affordable opportunity for people to do voiceover stuff, or maybe radio ads or social media or graphics. And it's for us, it's fun. It gives us a chance to do things together and hopefully be a blessing to businesses, churches, and that helps us to raise money to do mission trips as well. So we're excited about doing that together.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I'm glad you married someone with some talent, Trent. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, she had to bring it all, buddy. She had to bring it all.
Well, that's how I did it as well. So,
yeah.
Anyway, well, we gave you five suggestions to help keep hope in your holidays this year. And we are so glad you take time to listen. So if you have some media needs, you can reach out to Trent and Dana about that. And you can also reach out to us if we can come alongside your church. We offer consultation if you're looking for a pastor, or if your church is kind of stuck and you want to find a way to get traction again, we'd love to come alongside and consult you. We're also available to coach you if you need some coaching. So as you start to think about 2020, we hope we can walk with you through that. Thanks again for joining us on the Enduring Churches podcast. You are making this holiday season great for us because we love sharing this time with you, and we appreciate that you are willing to do that. Thanks again for joining us on the Enduring Churches podcast, and we have a very special request this week. We would like to ask you to lift up Trent. He's having some medical matters attended to this week, and if you would, we would just appreciate it if you would pause and say a prayer for him and wish him a speedy recovery so he can get back and join us on our podcast. I certainly wish he and Dana the best and a super, super fast recovery. So please lift him up. We appreciate you doing that and hope you'll continue listening to the Enduring Churches podcast. Thank you.